In the past, only a game has featured such esoteric sports as skillet tossing, wife carrying, and ice golf. In the great tradition of those remarkable events, with the assistance of intrepid reporter Sean Tooltime Cole, we give you Belt Sander Racing.
Two by two, they come screaming down the 85-foot-long, waist-high wooden track, trailing rooster tails of sawdust and long yellow extension cords that power them to the finish line. 21 contestants are racing their belt sanders in today's event, delighting hundreds of spectators crowded into a dusty workshop at Kenyon Woodworking in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. At the end of the day, 11 of them will walk away with trophies, three in the stock class for machines raced right out of the box, three in the modified class for souped-up sanders, and five consolation prizes, including best-dressed belt sander. Some of these machines can zip from start to finish in less than 3 seconds. A few never see the finish line at all. So why would someone want to crash a fairly expensive piece of woodworking equipment into a spring-loaded bale of styrofoam at 65 miles an hour?
It's goofy.
Dave Kenyon is co-owner of Kenyon Woodworking and one of the organizers of the race.
You know, it's obviously tongue-in-cheek, and at the same time, it's deadly serious. So it's really got it all. I mean, as opposed to the Super Bowl, which is strictly tongue-in-cheek, you know.
Kenyon's office is filled with mementos of races past. One shelf is lined with trophies from events he's won, some crowned with miniature cast-iron models of belt sanders. Kenyon says the history of belt sander racing in his shop stretches all the way back to the 1988 Olympics.
We were sitting around. My guess is we'd probably had a couple of beers, and of course we thought it wasn't fair that there wasn't an Olympics for cabinet makers, and we thought, well, you know, what are we going to do about that? And, you know, just one thing leads to another, and next thing you know, we're racing belt sanders. We figured that was our equivalent of an Olympic sport. I'm pretty sure that's how it got started, but I couldn't tell you for sure.
Out of that first contest was born a loosely knit group of racers called NEBSRA, the New England Belt Sander Racing Association. For 5 or 6 years, they held races every Halloween and Mother's Day. These days, the events are less frequent. This year's race is the first one in 2 years. But Kenyon says NEBSRA isn't the only organization that races belt sanders. There's also NUBSRA, the National Belt Sander Racing Association, a group that set a world record by jumping 6 motorcycles with a belt sander.
What amazes me is that guys would let their Harleys be jumped by a belt sander. I'm sure there's beer involved there.
Then there's CUMPTRA, the Central Maine Power Tool Racing Association. Kenyon says these racers are fiercely competitive and often walk away with trophies from NEBSRA events. And then there's IBDA, the International Belt Sander Drag Racing Association.
I'm guessing there's a couple of Canadians who race or something like that.
According to Kenyon, IBDA has crassly commercialized the sport of belt sander racing, doing promotional events at hardware stores. He says for him, racing belt sanders is a much more personal affair than that, something to be shared privately among friends.
It's a real family event. It's a family event with beer, you know.
You keep mentioning the beer.
The beer is central, pretty much. Without beer, I don't think you'd have belt sander racing. In fact, without beer, I'm sure there wouldn't be belt sander racing.
Hey, how are you, Ralph? Good to see you.
Pretty good. How are you doing?
About an hour before the race, the contestants are putting the finishing touches on their sanders and helping themselves to free beer as the crowd drifts in. Most of the racers have decorated their machines to the hilt and given them names to match. There's Marie's Purple Obsession.
Could I describe it? Well, it's purple with glitter.
One contestant has glued toy hockey sticks to either side of his sander to keep it from grinding to a halt on the rails. He's also topped the machine with his son's Boston Bruins helmet and painted a number 16 on the side.
Hey, what's his name, Tyler?
Derek Sanderson.
Derek Sanderson. Get it?
Some of the sanders look more like miniature floats than power tools. One of them is flanked on either side with huge cardboard Enron logos. In the middle, on a bed of shredded paper, sits a cowboy doll with George Bush's face. And when you press little George's tummy, he speaks.
It's playtime! Put her there, partner.
Another one.
I always look out for a friend. You're my favorite deputy.
Dave Kenyon's sander, Custom Deluxe, is one of the more subdued entries of the bunch, although he has decided at the last minute to glue 2 round, bulbous wooden objects to the front, much to his 14-year-old son Henry's chagrin.
Don't you think it's more streamlined this way?
That it has boobs.
I don't think of them as boobs. I think of them as aerodynamic cowling.
Kenyon hopes the aerodynamic cowlings will intimidate the competition, particularly the guys from the Central Maine Power Tool Racing Association, known for their speedy sanders. Cumtra founder Terry Robinson is racing one of the fastest sanders of the day, Mad Max. With beer on his breath, he tells me his machine once appeared in Easy Rider magazine.
To be honest, years ago, I've been racing for 15 years. And many years ago, we went to the Triple R Bar in Bath, Maine. Easy Rider magazine was coming. You want to make an appearance, you know? You want them to notice you. So I named my sander Mad Max, and it stuck ever since.
And what drew you to it in the first place?
Racing belt sanders?
Yeah.
I ride a motorcycle in the summer, and in the wintertime I can't go. You got to have something to do. And racing belt sanders, you can hold a beer in one hand.
As opposed to racing motorcycles.
Yeah, well, you can't hold a beer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first race. We have Derek Sanderson and Smitty. All righty, let's hear it. Okay.
Each race is run in three heats. You have to win two to move on to the next round. Before each heat, the racers stand with their thumbs poised on remote switches, waiting for MC Huck Davies to start the Christmas tree, a set of six lights that blinks red down to green.
The tree is live.
The races last all afternoon and into the evening. Some of the racers clearly want nothing more than to win. Others are more interested in showing off their ornately decorated sanders. At the end of the first modified round, it's time for Dave Kenyon's Custom Deluxe to prove its mettle. Like a young Dale Earnhardt Jr., following in his father's footsteps, Dave's son Henry picks up the switch and takes the driver's position.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, watch your bears, watch your feet, and watch the track. Racers ready? Tree is live. Whoa! All right, let's hear it. That was beautiful.
Henry wins the race handily, dominating the first two heats. Still, his dad is worried that the competition might be too stiff for the young racer. So before the finals, he takes Henry aside to give him a little fatherly advice.
Dad, we're flashing.
When you get down to the finals.
Dad, we're flashing.
That's okay. Listen to me now. Son, listen to me.
Yeah?
When you get down to the finals, you're going to probably be up against Mad Max. Okay?
I want you to make sure
he sees the aerodynamic cowlings. If he's looking at the aerodynamic cowlings, when the Christmas tree goes down, you can get a jump on him.
But even the aerodynamic cowlings aren't enough to intimidate the racers from Maine. In the end, Terry Robinson's sander Mad Max finishes second in the modified class. Another Maine sander called Potential Disaster finishes third. And Dave and Henry's Custom Deluxe comes in fourth, a placement for which there is no trophy. After the race, Dave Kenyon leans against the wall in the corner of the room and explains his failed strategy to the MC's wife, Ann Davies.
Well, next year.
It was too strong.
It was always next year.
There's always next year or next decade or who knows when. Whatever the spirit moves us.
For Only a Game, I'm Sean Cole in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts.
The tree is live. We're open. Let's go!